How's everybody doing tonight?
Great.
Good? Y'all excited?
Yep.
Y'all ready to learn about the, in my opinion, the most important verse in the Bible? Okay. And I'll explain why. But let's go ahead and get started, and then I know there'll be a couple other people coming. They've already told me they were coming, and I'll be a little late, so. Father, it's good to be here tonight, and I just thank you for your word, and I thank you for the opportunity that we have to study it, and we're here to learn from you tonight, so open our hearts and our minds and teach us what you want us to know. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you brought your Bibles, I'm going to be calling out some Bible verses, and so I need some volunteers. So if you don't feel comfortable reading out loud, it's fine, but if you are, go ahead and do it. I'm not going to pick on you. I'm just going to ask for volunteers. So you got to be ready to jump out as we go through. Anybody tell me what we learned about last week? Those of you who were here. Anything, any memory, anything that sticks out in your mind? What did we talk about mainly? How do we know the Bible is true? What do we call this thing?
The good book.
The good book. There's lots of names for it. It's called the Bible.
It's God's message to us.
There it is, God's message to us. There's another word I'm looking for.
His letter,
his story. Yep. Okay, who's the central person of the Bible?
God.
Right, that's who we're, and this basically is his story to us. What was the Bible's purpose, or what is the Bible's purpose? That's okay. I mean, if you don't, I'm just seeing if it jogs anybody's memory from last week. One of the purposes is to help us know who God is, right? What He's like, and what He's done. To help us understand God interacted with man, and what He has done for all people, or all mankind. The other thing about the Bible is to help God's attitude, or discover God's attitude towards Satan, towards things that are wrong. So, lots of things. So, how many people did God use to write the Bible?
40.
And how many years was that spanned over?
1600
years, right. And that was a big question last week. How in the world do we know, and how do we find that out? And what does that prove about God?
That
He is the author of it, right? That there's no explanation, there's no way that man on our own minds, our own thoughts, could come up with this stuff on our own, right? So that's one of the main reasons there. What else do you remember about the lesson? Anything else? Just your thoughts. Okay. Well, tonight we're going to talk about who is God. So does anybody know who is God? Okay, all right. Well, what are other names for God? What are some other names for God?
Lord.
Think about it from the standpoint, too, of people outside that may not have a relationship with God, or who may not actually walk through a church door. What would they call them? Or I've called them this, too, so it's not really a right or wrong answer. So,
the man upstairs.
Man upstairs, right. Yeah, man upstairs. Right? That's the thing. I hope the man upstairs isn't mad at me, or, you know, those type of things. Or if you think about Star Wars today, we use the term the Force. You know, the Force, may the Force be with you, or something like that. So people do that. Some people might perceive Him as dwelling in nature. You know, God is in nature today. Others think He can be manipulated. Have you ever think you can manipulate God? Okay. But who is He really? As we learned last week, that God has not hidden Himself from us. He has given us a thing. Come on in. There's two seats right up front here. We're just getting started.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Chad.
So all this information about who is God, and that's what we want to talk about tonight. The Bible is God's revelation of himself in history. And so we'll read a verse here. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, and let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord. Another name for God. So if I were to ask you some questions, or what questions would you say you have about God? I have a whole list here that I'll ask you, but has any other questions ever come up about who is God that might just pop in your mind? Anything now?
I've always found myself asking, okay, so where did God come from?
Where did God come from? That's a very good question. So, and that was one of my questions. If God exists, what is his origin? Where does he come from? So, that's a very good question. Any other questions? I can't believe nobody has just about any, never really thought about this. Do you think about God a lot? So you got to have some questions, right?
Okay, I wonder why.
Go ahead.
Why wasn't Moses allowed to see? Why isn't anyone allowed to really see?
Oh, very good question. Why was Moses not allowed to see him, or why aren't we physically allowed to see him? Okay. How about some of these? Is there really a God? Is there really a God? Or do we just exist and then that's it? Does he have absolute authority over the entire earth, or even us as humans? How about, does he really care about the human race and what we experience? Does God really care about what we go through in life? Why does he allow disasters to affect millions of people? If God is God, and there is a God, then why does he allow bad things to happen? Why does he allow people or children to become sick and die, or, again, allow evil to take place in this earth? Any other questions? Does that stimulate your mind and get your mind thinking about questions you might have had about God?
I mean, if you think of all the millions and billions of people in the world, how can God focus on me directly?
How can God just focus on me as an individual when there's billions, 7 billion people now, or 7 billion plus in the world? How does he have enough time to go around everybody? Very good question.
Santa Claus can. God, sure.
Santa Claus can? He only does it on one day. He has 364 days a year to get ready. Right.
Yeah, but he also knows the number of hair on the head.
Ah.
Now,
mine ain't convinced. You're making it easy on the to me, when this question of God, who is God, I almost have to separate it from my church mind if I just let my mind go. Mm-hmm. Because being raised in church, being raised, being taught that there is a God, you know, my mind tends to stop. Well, yeah, but if you really let your mind go, you can. There is all kinds of unanswered questions about God,
mm-hmm.
And I think that's just it's a reality that, yeah,
yeah,
so,
it,
yeah.
Sometimes
you're going to have to start speaking up because it's going to get hard.
Even back
to
there, so maybe next week we'll have a mic or something.
No, just pull everybody forward.
Pull everybody forward. So, okay.
Yeah.
Well, so we're going to try to answer this question tonight: who is God? And we will not necessarily answer all those questions that we've had, but I think as you go through this book or this class, some of those questions are going to be answered, and we'll hit on those as we go through. But So as we learn about God and himself, basically we're going to learn about God from himself. And we're going to see that. If you guys that just came in don't have books, we'll get books for you by the next class. So if you have books, if there's people around here and you don't mind sharing, just grab another one. There's an extra book up here. Why do you think God revealed so much about himself to us? Or why do you think he wants to do that by giving us the Bible?
Because he wants us to have a relationship.
Could everybody hear Kevin?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Because he wants us to know him and to have a relationship with him. That's why God did that. As we just read that verse there in Jeremiah, what stands out to you in that verse? That's up there on the screen. In that passage, what is standing out? And if you can't see it, I'll step back. Anything stand out?
Understanding.
Understanding?
Trusting in things other than God.
Say that again?
Trusting in things other than God.
Trusting in things other than God? Okay.
For me, it kind of means that no matter what you do,
okay, so without God, you wouldn't be anything, and you wouldn't have anything, okay?
But even if you had nothing to understand and know him, it's above all.
Sure, okay, so even if you have nothing, to understand and know him is above all. That is the premise. All right, turn with me to your Bibles, to Genesis 1:1. I'm going to get somebody to read the first part, not the whole thing. So, somebody read that.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
Okay, so that's the whole verse. We're going to focus on tonight, in the beginning, God created. Okay? And you said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? Everything has a beginning. Correct? So, I didn't bring a rope tonight, but how many of you have seen the rope illustration where the span is your life? In order to create something, has anybody ever created anything? You've created something?
Make something.
Oh, you made something.
Yeah, right.
You created. We'll come back to not that tonight, but I just want you to think about what it actually takes to create something. You and I have things when we make something, it comes out of something. God existed before the entire world, so everything else is there. The earth wasn't created, the heavens weren't created, but God was there from the beginning. God was there, and he spoke it in existence. Now, I'm going to give you my explanation why I believe this is the most important verse in the Bible. And I've come, in my humble opinion, there's many verses in the Bible, but I believe this is the first one. Because without this, you and I cease to exist. We do not exist if God did not take this first step. Because God was there from the beginning, he created everything. The most basic element to our life, the breath, the air that we breathe, God was there before anything else. That's why I believe this is the most important verse in the Bible. Because if God didn't take the step to say, hey, I want to create, I want to have a relationship with people, I want to take this step and put all this stuff into motion, we cease to exist. God is the greatest reality to all the world. In Psalms 14, it says this: the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So, God's message to us says this, that only a fool believes there is no God. And that's from his perspective, not ours. That's God's perspective. God had no beginning, and he had no end. So he's been there from all. Now, it doesn't answer the question of where does God come from, if he has no beginning and he has no end. While you're thinking about that thought, God has no beginning and no end, someone get Psalms 90, verse 2. The difference between us and God, and I don't know what I just did there, but the difference between us and God is this. Because God is eternal, and God has no beginning and no end, you and I have to have a beginning. We have a beginning. That began whatever year you were born, whatever day you were born on. That's when you and I had a beginning. And the rope idea, the rope illustration, has a little piece of tape on it, and it just took a little piece of rope. There's your timeline, and your timeline and your thing. Somewhere along that timeline, somebody had a beginning. God did. He was there beforehand. Who's got Psalms 90, verse 2? Somebody.
Go ahead.
Before the mountains were brought forth, forever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God.
What's that verse mean?
Before it all, there was God.
What's that?
Before it all, there was God.
Before all, there was God. We're going to hammer that point. Before everything, anything existed, there was God. Well, how does that make you feel?
Old.
It makes you feel old?
Mm-hmm.
Why does that make you feel old?
Because of the imagination of how long ago it was.
Okay. To try to picture that, it's a lot to take in.
It drives me nuts.
It drives you nuts?
Mm-hmm. I like the thought, but I can't believe it.
I would couple with that the question of what was it like? Can we imagine a time when there was nothing?
Can you imagine that?
I can imagine a blank slate.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know if you just recently, I don't know how recently, but I just read the article where they focused the Hubble telescope on a black spot for four years that they recorded, and they have pictures of how many galaxies, what we always thought was a black hole in the atmosphere,
mm-hmm.
and with concentrated focus of this powerful telescope, they're discovering thousands of galaxies of stars that are out there in what previously they thought was just a black hole in space.
Mm-hmm.
And so you try and wrap your brain around this thing of ceasing of nothing except God, which we can't even wrap our brains around. And to me, the whole thing is, the reason I'm saying that, the whole thing is, I simply cannot comprehend it, nor will I ever comprehend it. That's where I end up. Now, there could be more brilliant people in this room than me, so.
Anybody think you're smarter than Lynn?
Don't go there. Yeah.
Again, if you go back to Jeremiah, what we read, what did it say? The wise, even some of the people who have a tremendous amount of wisdom, we cannot fathom how big God is and how all that came about. We have his word to tell us how it comes about, and we'll learn that over the next couple of weeks. But in this situation, we have to trust that God himself is revealing himself to us through his word, and that God doesn't need any single one of us. God is totally independent of everything and everyone. I'm going to throw this slide up there. So we talked about God has no beginning. Man is born and dies. God is independent. He is totally independent. He didn't need us. He didn't need the earth. But he chose to create it. What are the things that you and I are dependent on today? Say that. Need to be dependent on other people. Okay. What about
water, air, food?
Water, air, food. If we lose one of those things, how long can you go without air before you die?
Not long.
Not long, right? Yeah, I mean, when I think about this, if you think about the sun, it's 93 million miles away, and if it's the Earth is on a 23 degree angle, and so if one of that little bit of angle or 1 degree closer, we burn up or we freeze, right? And so we're very dependent that the Earth stays right where it's at. We have to depend on that. How many days can you go without sleep? I mean, Hell Week in the military is 7 days, and usually they don't get hardly any sleep at all. That's a long time without sleep. Anybody here ever gone more than seven days without sleep? Moms may have, but sometimes they may feel like that. But still, you have to have sleep. You have to be dependent on something. God is independent. We are dependent. And we have to depend on things, and we should be depending on who God is. Okay? God does not need anything. All right, what else do we know about God? God is spirit. Now, anybody thought about that? God is spirit. John 4:24 says this, that God is spirit. He does not have a physical body. So I can pinch myself or bump myself up against something and I know it hurts. God has no physical body. Okay? And we'll go back there. Man has a physical body. God is not limited by time or space. There's time and space. Tonight we started at a few minutes after 7, and around there's a time. Once we get to 8 o'clock, we can never go back and get that 7 o'clock. It's gone forever. And yet God has no time or space. And that's not limited by that. He's everywhere at the same time. So that was a question. How can God focus on me, be a part of me, want to commune with me, and yet there's 7 billion people us in the world? How can God be everywhere all at the same time? Someone grab Psalms 139, 7 through 12, and then someone grab Proverbs 15, verse 3. Psalms 139. Who's got that? Read loud and clear, whoever's going to read it, so everybody can hear. Not everybody jump at once.
139, 12.
Yeah, 7 through 12.
7 through 12. Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you.
Can you imagine those words? Where can I go from your spirit or your presence? Where can I flee from your presence? That means everywhere you go, God is there. If I were to go to heaven, he is there. If I go down into the depths of hell, the word Sheol that Lord read there means hell. You were there. If I take wings and fly off into the morning, or I dwell into the uttermost parts of the sea, and if I go to the deepest part of the sea, God is there. If even your right hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. I mean, imagine that. That's what God is saying about us, that he holds us in his hands. That's amazing, amazing thing. If darkness falls on me, and the night shall be light about me, or all around us, he is there. You cannot hide from God. He is everywhere. Who's got Proverbs 15:3? All right, go for it.
The eyes of Jehovah are in every place, keeping watch upon the evil way.
Can you read that again?
The eyes of Jehovah are in every place, keeping watch upon the evil and the good.
Ah, so the eyes of the Lord. Now, we just said that God does not have a body, right? But yet he's described as having eyes, so he sees everything. We can only picture that because we see our physical body here. That's how we can imagine and see how God is, but God sees. He sees everything. It's everywhere at the same time. And man is limited to one space. And I'm going to use a word here some of you may have heard about, some of you may not have heard about, but God is a Trinity. What does that mean when you hear the word Trinity?
Three.
You're using a triangle. Yep. Many different illustrations out there to try to describe God as a Trinity. None of them, and some of them may be very good to help, but none of them do God justice. Cannot fathom. God is one, and yet three persons. We're not going to really talk too much about that tonight, but as you go throughout this lesson, this class, you're going to see time and time again throughout the scriptures where God says he has a spirit. You'll hear him as referred to as the Son of God. You'll refer to him as Father or Lord. All these different things about God. A lot of people might ask questions. You may have questions. How can God be three in one? Three persons and in one being. I don't know. Anybody have questions about that? Something to maybe get our minds thinking?
I would just add this, that the Greek word for God in verse 1
is Elohim.
Is Elohim, which, not I said Greek,
Hebrew.
Hebrew word. That word is plural. It's not a singular form of the word.
And one of the things we will find out as we go to the next verses through here through creation, that God speaks before man is even created. Who's he talking to if he's talking to himself? I mean, there's an essence there behind that. So we'll have to go through that. And you'll see that Adam and Eve were not created. We haven't got there yet, but on your timeline, you'll see that. God creates, and yet God was speaking beforehand. Any other thoughts on that? I don't want to spend too much time on it, but all right. This next thing about God, and here's where it talks about God. You'll find these words throughout the Bible: God, Father, Son, and Spirit. And that on your timeline, your sheet of paper, you'll see that there. And so as you go through, you're going to see, and you'll see these things stand out. You'll be like, hey, pretty cool. The next thing I want to talk about is that God is sovereign. When you think of the word sovereign, what do you think of?
Humble.
What's that?
Humble.
Okay. Kind of. Does anybody know what sovereign means?
Does it mean all-knowing?
All-knowing? Okay. Could be. I'm just asking what you think of what the word sovereign is.
Above everything.
Above everything. Okay? Yeah. if you Webster's Dictionary says this about it, it means a ruler, a supreme in power, chief, to the highest degree. Is your power superior to God's power?
No.
Why not? Why would you say no?
Because God's sovereign.
Ah, okay, very good. He's above all. He's the supreme. The supreme. In our earthly minds, I mean, right now, we have a structure in our government, our system. You know, you have the president and you have, you know, all these offices and everything there. And that's not supreme. That's only supreme on a certain realm, maybe. But in God's case, he's supreme over everything. He is the ultimate authority. Everything underneath of him is subject to him. That means us. That means creation. That means everything. Everything is subject to God. And yet, someone grab Psalms 147, 7 through 9. These verses are going to back up how what it means that God is sovereign. You and I are not sovereign.
Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp to our God, who covers the heaven with clouds, who prepares rain for the earth, who makes grass grow on the mountains. He gives to the beasts his food and to the young ravens his prey.
What does God do in there? In those verses? That declares or shows he is sovereign to us. He supplies. He makes the grass to grow. He gives food to the beasts. He even takes and cares about the young ravens that cry out. He does what else with the heavens? What does he cover them with?
Clouds.
The clouds. Listen to Psalms 148. 1 through 13, and listen to all the things about God and his sovereignty. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you stars of light. Praise him, you heavens of heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He also established them forever and ever. He made a decree which shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all the depths, fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind, fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men, maidens or ladies, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and heaven, and he has exalted the horn of his people. The praise of all his saints, of all the children, all the people near him. All the things that God is in, he's sovereign. You just can't. We cannot understand it all. God is in it all, and yet he is there. Jeremiah 10:6 says this, the Most High over all the earth. Not Jeremiah, that's Psalms 83. Jeremiah 10:6 says this. One too far. There is none like you, O Lord. You are great, and your name is great in might. God is far superior than anything we will ever be able to comprehend here on this earth. And as I click one step further in Psalms 83:18, it says he is called the Most High. Often throughout the scriptures, you'll see that. Isaiah 45 says this, that I am the Lord, and there is no other. There is no God besides me. So, God is the highest authority in all of the universe. If you go home tonight and you want to see a picture of what Lynn was talking about with the stars and stuff, if you do a YouTube search on a man by the name of Francis Chan, and with creation, and he has an actual video of if you step back so many thousands of kilometers and back so far, you'll see the galaxy and what God's created, and you get millions and millions of miles away where you can't even see the sun, and you see the black, they call the Milky Way, and you'll see all these galaxies, and the Earth is not even in them. You can't see it. There's just so much, and yet God is, that's who God is. He is over all of that. You can't picture it. You can't fathom it. I was going to try to bring that here tonight and play it as a little video clip, but because God is the highest authority, man should be under God's authority. Is that a true or false statement? That man should be under God's authority. Is that true or false?
True.
Now, it's easy to say that because we're in class, and that's the whole point of this class, right? But not everybody thinks that. So if God is over everything, and God is the highest authority, who can tell us about his existence? Who can tell us about his existence if God's over everything? I mean, who should we look to for the answer for that? God.
The Bible.
Bible. Does that bring, by hearing those things and reading these things, does that bring validity to who God is? In your mind?
I feel like you can, to know who God is also to know God and to experience a spiritual change and the work of God. Because it's, to me, it's like anything else. You can't prove something until you've done it. You can't prove that you're a physical therapist until you've gotten a degree.
Okay.
You have to have a faith that it's...
You have to have a faith, you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
What about the evidence?
What's that?
I said, what about the evidence? I mean, we're reading scripture here, and he's talking about all throughout scripture of what he's created, what he's done, what he's a ruler over, all those things. It's like, just give it time. Look at all that he's done, and you can see how great God is, and get to know him through what he's done. It's like watching a movie. Let's say, let's use Michael Bay for instance. I've seen a lot of his movies, and a lot of critics say that, oh, he's big on explosions. But if you watch his movies, of course, that's what he's pretty known for. So it's like the same thing, kind of. Because you take scripture and you see that the scripture is saying here, and you apply it to reality, to life, it lines up. So, the evidence.
Okay, so evidence lines up, evidence. The evidence that you see around you today is what you're saying is backs up that the Bible is true.
Yeah.
Okay?
Well, I mean, it's just what we're talking about. What kind of meant to say is, if God is sovereign over everything, it means that he has a hand, and like it says in scripture, he has a hand in everything, and we can see, we can look to everything basically to see God. And then also, if he's sovereign over us, it means he has a personal relationship, or not even relationship, but we could have a personal relationship with him. He has a personal tie to us as individuals, too. So that's within ourselves also.
Okay. that's someone else. Anything else?
Now, what was your original question now? Because I was listening.
Which question? So I asked
that,
a lot
that,
of
that prompted the answers.
Oh, prompted the answers.
Yeah.
How can we know that God alone can tell us that he existed or that everything came out or that from existence?
Well, some of these things are taught.
Some of these things are taught, yeah.
Right. And, you know, from people who, like your prophets.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we've learned some things from people who teach us.
Okay.
And hopefully that will be instilled so we know, as somebody who's learning, what to expect. That's not the right word.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the idea.
Vince's comment is about, I don't know who this guy is. I don't know what his name is.
He's the director. Michael Bay.
Okay. This is Michael Bay. I don't know who he is, but anyways. Everybody that's writing or their opinion or saying their opinion about him has obviously witnessed something. In other words, they had to witness something that he's known for. Correct?
Yeah.
Otherwise, you would just be, you're saying that. I've never witnessed. I mean, I may have witnessed what he's done. I don't know. I don't even know his name. But in order for me to have any truth to the matter, I have to actually go and physically understand or see something. There's an illustration here. I want to ask you a question about this illustration. If you were a journalist and you wanted to write something about a child growing up during World War II, how would you write that? You go to the source,
mm-hmm.
right? You go talk to a child during World War II. Right? Can you do that?
Well, not today.
Not today you can.
You would have to go down research
history.
Right. So I'm going to go over here and talk to John about his life or what it was like to grow up during World War II. Could John give me a really good picture of that?
Mm-hmm.
Why not, John?
I wasn't there.
You weren't there. Your father or your grandfather might have been there, but you were not physically there. So for me to rely on John's story about World War II wouldn't be really accurate because he wasn't there. God was there when he created creation. God was there when he spoke everything into existence. And that's where we want to leave tonight with this thought that in the beginning, God was there. And without that, we cease to exist. We are not here. And nobody is. Because it was in the beginning. There's going to be a lot in the next several weeks, a lot of questions that will come up, and you'll hear these today, even today, and it's really prevalent today, about all the theories of how the earth came about. How everything was formed. How everything was created. The only evidence that we have of the beginning, the only true evidence of the beginning, is the Bible. And we learned last week about how God created and put his word into motion through 40 different authors, 1,600 years spanning, and how all of that matches up. Only God can be that author. You and I could never do anything like that. No man could ever think up a plan like that. It's been tried, but it's never been matched. When you think about God, and you go home tonight and you think about, okay, close your eyes, do whatever it takes to get your mind off of everything else if you can do that. And just dwell on who God is. And who he is and what he said about himself. What we read tonight. Those verses. that even in the depths of despair, even to the deepest part of the ocean, or to the farthest part of the galaxy where mankind can never get, God is there. How small does that make you feel? Or how wonderful or exciting do you get when you realize and recognize that even in this room right now, God is here. And His presence is here. That is an exciting thought to me. And yet sometimes it can be very confusing because we can't see Him. Right? And it's like, wow, I can hear this, you can hear me say this, that God is here, but I can't physically see Him. And so you begin to ask questions. Any last thoughts or comments? After hearing this, do you think you can depend upon God now to do what He says He's going to do? Or just depend upon God? Or are there still questions in your mind? Can I really depend upon who God is and who He says He is?
I think that's a really good question. Can I depend on God? My answer is no. Not based on what you told me.
Okay.
No. And the reason is because I'm still questioning whether the Bible is actually true.
Good. So you got to come next week.
And you haven't convinced me. You've given me some credible evidence.
Okay.
But you also haven't convinced me that what God says about Himself is true. And that's what, you know, I heard Vince over there say, well, the Bible says, God says who He is. And you can look around and there's credible evidence to say, well, that is who God is. I heard that. Well, that's like me saying that I can hit a home run in the World Series. And I can talk till I'm blue in the face about how good I am.
Uh-huh.
But it means nothing. I could even possibly convince a bunch of you. I could actually write a book about it.
Mm-hmm. About hitting a home run?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
How many about my storied baseball career.
Sure.
I could write it.
Yeah.
Or I could hire somebody to write a really good story.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is that at this point, you've not convinced me of anything.
Okay.
Give me some good things to think about.
Okay. Glad to hear that.
I got a question.
My job's not to convince you, by the way. I'm just here to tell you his story. Go ahead.
Well, why did God decide to give us a Bible versus just deciding and saying, hey, I'm going to talk to you and tell you all these things personally?
Okay. Very good. Very good question. You better write that question down so that as we go through this lesson, you'll find the answer.
That was a really good answer. I think, let me just explain. You guys obviously understand I'm playing devil's advocate a little bit. But
we don't like using that word here, as we'll learn next week.
But I think I'm really trying to drive home a point. The fact that what we are doing as you go through this lesson, I mean, we have laid two building blocks so far. We've laid two blocks on the foundation. Don't expect to know what the house is going to look like when there's two blocks laid. We're laying blocks. And it's the question of, and I really hope you all at times wrestle with, is the Bible really true? Can I trust it? I really hope we need to wrestle with that question. But as you, as we said it last week, that as you continue to lay the building blocks, these foundational blocks, the Bible will begin to prove itself that it is true. You go outside and you can take archaeological evidence, you can take all this other stuff and say, well, the Bible is true. Well, people will debate that. You go online, you can read all kinds of stuff, watch all kinds of stuff from people that are debating this. But if you study the Bible as if it is true, that's a key thing. You can't study it just trying to disprove it. You must study something. Say, okay, is it true? Genuinely, honestly, in your heart, saying, is it true? When you study it with that genuine desire to know if it is true, the Bible will prove itself as you continue to lay the building blocks. And that is the foundation. That is the principal premise behind this type of study. Is going through, laying the building blocks. And there will come, as you progress through, it's like, aha, this is connecting. Way in the middle, something connects to way in the beginning. And this stuff all begins to connect and make sense. And so I just want to encourage you, as you go through this study, think of it that way, that you're just laying pieces, you're putting these pieces together. And along with that, if you start missing lessons, you will miss key blocks. And, and I would say it this way, next week is Angels, the Spirit World. It's a really fun lesson. I'm jumping ahead of you here a little bit, but you get into week 4, 5, 6, we get into creation. And there's all kinds of debates about creation.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to look at this. Matt's going to teach this based on what the Bible says about creation, and we're going to assume it's true and let the Bible prove that it's true. You answer it well. You don't have to convince me that the Bible is true.
Yeah. We often try to do that. It can be anything in life. We try to convince somebody else about something. So whoever's into March Madness right now, everybody's going to try to convince each other that their team is the team that's going to win. And they do it by filling out a bracket. I can tell you what. The bracket's probably going to get blown to bits. Only a few people may get it right, and they're getting it based off of luck. So when you have questions, Vince, like what you have, or anybody else, write them down, because you will see over the next 46 weeks, you will see those questions answered through the Bible. And if it's not answered at the end of the class or the end of the lesson, then you come see me, because there is an answer in this book, but I can't give it to you. I can help you work through it. Lynn can help you, but you're going to have to see that for yourself. You'll see
I
that.
Challenge that.
What's that?
I challenge that.
Challenge what?
I'm going to challenge your wording.
Okay, maybe my wording.
I'm going to challenge your wording. There are some things that we simply say, I don't know.
Oh yes. Okay.
There are some things that we simply, and I would go back to the very fact that God is much greater than I am.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the answer to Lori's question, is that you that said, where does God come from? Is that, who was it?
Yeah.
Okay. But where does God come from? Well, we didn't really answer that. We just said he's always existed. The reality is, the Bible doesn't tell us where he comes from. But it does say he always existed. So we have to accept it at that.
Then would you really want to know where God came from?
Well, I didn't ask the question.
if you ask that question, you know. Because you're saying, there's some questions we say, I don't know. I've always seen those questions as blessings. Because if you did know where God came from, would he be God?
Mm.
Would he be sovereign?
Mm-hmm.
I have a beginning and an end, and for that reason, I'm not sovereign. I'm not God. So if I knew where God came from, then I guess all of this would already be done.
Takes away his sovereignty. Mm-hmm. Takes away that he is over all. I will say this, having gone through this class, sitting where you're at, the questions don't get any easier. The questions get deeper. Some of them are not all that easy to answer, especially when you start going through each lesson. But I will say this, that when you get done at the end of the lesson, the Bible will speak for itself. God himself speaks for himself, because this is his story. It's him telling us about himself. Any last thoughts? All right, can I get, I'm going to shut this off now, but if I can get whoever needs a book.